www.radio.net.
Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm Sandra McDevitt. Today on Stories from the Heart, a young man tries to explain why he isn't going to college following high school. The father has saved for years for his son to have the chance he never had. Stay tuned to find out whether or not there will be a reconciliation between the two on another Stories from the Heart. I took a deep breath of crisp, damp air as I sat on the fallen log not far from the shore. Shivering, I tucked my hands into the pockets of my sweatpants. It was cold for the beginning of August. Mist, delicate and pale, floated above the lake. The mountains, pine trees, and bright yellow sunrise that filled the eastern sky reflected in the tranquil water. I wasn't sure why I had returned here to this tiny, isolated body of water, the spot where we used to come for picnics every summer, my folks, my sister, and me, when we were visiting my mom's parents at their cottage. Strange that I chose the site of long-ago family outings, but for some reason it seemed safe, secure, and perhaps innocent. Now my grandparents were gone. My folks owned the cottage, and my sister was married and living on the other side of the country. And I guess I was wishing to be 10 years old again, when things seemed so much simpler. Rustling from the trail behind me caught my attention. I turned, expecting a squirrel or a rabbit. Instead, I found something very much unexpected, my father. He stood at the edge of the clearing in his jeans and his Buffalo Bill sweatshirt. His baseball cap was pulled down low on his forehead, a backpack thrown over his right shoulder. "Morning, Jim," he grumbled, his voice seeming much too loud in the quiet surroundings. "Good morning." He walked up behind me, stopping where I sat. "Your mother put some coffee in the thermos. You want a cup?" "Am I still allowed to drink your coffee?" I asked. "Of course you are," he replied. "Mind if I share your log there?" My father sat down and pulled the thermos and two tin cups out of the pack. "I heard you slip out this morning. I've been thinking about this place, too, for some reason." He filled a cup and handed it to me. "Been a couple of years since I wandered back here. Figured I'd join you for a while." He poured a cup for himself, placed it on the log next to him, and twisted the cap back on the thermos. I blew across my mug, causing steam to dance around my face. We were quiet while we sipped our coffee. A blue jay squawked in the tree behind us. "Remember the white deer we used to see out here?" my father asked. "Yes," I said. "I'm sure it's gone by now." "Maybe not," my father replied. "You never know." Pop. That had to be 6 or 7 years ago. I'm sure some hunters would have found it by now. "Land's posted, no hunters here." "Maybe that white deer had offspring, and we'll see them." "It doesn't work that way, Pop. The albino gene is recessive, so if that deer had any offspring, they'd probably just be normal colored." "You never know. Life can be surprising." "Like you and Mom were surprised last night," I replied. "Yeah, last night," he said quietly. "Maybe I said some things I shouldn't have." "I know you're angry, Pop, but you have to understand. I don't see any sense in going to college. It seems like a waste to me. It's not what I want right now." "But we talked about this for years," he said. "We planned and saved for you to go to college. Now you're quitting before you even get started. That ain't right, Jim." "You're not hearing what I'm saying, Dad." "No," snapped my father. "Apparently you weren't hearing what I've been saying for years. My parents came here to America to make a better life for themselves. My father worked two jobs to give me and my sisters more than he had growing up. Then what happened? He dies when I'm in high school." "I know, Pop. I had to drop out of school to get a job to help support my family. I never got to go to college. I never even finished high school. But when your Ma and I got married, we promised each other we'd make sure to give our kids a better start. We'd make sure our kids got to go to college to make more of themselves." "I didn't say I was dropping out of society," I replied. "I just said that I'm not ready for college right now. Anyway, who made the rule that September after you graduate from high school, you have to start college?" "I tell you," my dad said, "I would make that rule if it get you go to college." "Sorry," I laughed. "It won't work." A doe stepped out of the trees and onto the shore, pausing for a moment. We saw her light brown coloring. The doe shook her head, and two fawns walked out to stand on either side of her. Together they lowered their heads to drink. "Sorry, it's not the white deer you wanted to see," I whispered to my father. He shrugged. "Well, morning's not over yet." I hadn't noticed before, or maybe I had forgotten, but my father has the same light blue eyes that I do. I guess we hadn't been this close for a long time. "You say you ain't dropping out of society," he said, "but you're going all the way to Africa. That's something for sure." "But I told you, I'm only going for 4 months. I'll be back home in time for Christmas. The organization I'll be working with is building a school for kids in Ghana. This is really important to those people, and it feels a whole lot more important to me than studying sociology or calculus at college." I set down my cup at my feet and reached out to touch my father's arm. "I'm not like Kara. I know she's doing well and everything, but just because my sister went to college, was valedictorian of her class, and has a high-paying career, I can't do it like she did." My father stared over the water. "I guess every person's journey is difficult." We sat silently again for a while. Another doe came to the lake to drink. She stayed a long time, but she wasn't a white deer. "I know last night wasn't great, but I'm glad I told you how I feel. It's like a 1,000-pound weight has been lifted off my shoulders," I said. "Then telling us is probably for the best," he answered. "Are you going to be able to forgive me?" "Well, I'll be honest with you, Jim. I'm not thrilled with your decision. But I forgave you after you threw the baseball through the living room window twice. I forgave you when you brought home that stray dog that dug up all the flower bulbs around the house your ma and me planted. I forgave you when you were learning how to drive and you backed my pickup truck into the telephone pole." I put up my hands in surrender. "Okay, I get the idea. I screw up a lot." My father laughed. "The point I'm trying to make is that if I haven't thrown you out of the house by now, I'm sure I can get over this too. I just want to be sure you're not making a big mistake." "It doesn't feel like I'm making a mistake. You know, no matter how much your ma and I had to struggle to get by, we were always pretty happy. And I've always said that I don't care what my kids decide to do, as long as they're happy too." He sighed and rubbed his forehead. "I like to think that I'm the kind of man who really meant that when I said it." "I'm happy, Pop." "That's good, son." This time, I was the one who held up my hand to silence the conversation. Across the water on the opposite shore, there was a movement in the brush. And then an antlered buck stepped out and stood motionless at the water's edge, its ears shifting slightly, alert for danger. Its silky brown coat seemed to almost shine in the morning light, but it was not the white deer. It was ridiculous, I know, but at that moment I felt bad for my father. He wanted to see the white deer, and it didn't happen. Now I wanted to see the white deer, too. A white deer would have meant something, something special, like some life-affirming moment. I knew in my logical mind that I was being far too dramatic about two people sitting in the woods and drinking coffee, but I couldn't help it. "I guess we're not going to see a white deer," I said. "Doesn't matter," my father replied. "But somehow I feel like it does matter." My father shook his head. "Sometimes things in life don't work out the way you plan," he said. "Sometimes things change a little or a lot, but I guess that's okay. Maybe the white deer is gone. Maybe the white deer didn't have any offspring. Maybe my son ain't going to college like I want him to. And instead, he's running off to Africa for a while. But still, everything will be okay. Life doesn't come with any guarantees. That's part of the deal. I just need to make sure that I have a little faith in my family, in my son, and the fact that the world is running just like God intended. That'll give me something to hang on to at least." As the deer drank, the smooth plane of the lake began to ripple. Tiny waves moving out across the surface like shattering glass. I couldn't help but think that in a way each liquid shard was perhaps like a small shimmering of faith moving on to touch somewhere else, maybe to touch someone else. I scooted over closer to my father and put my arm over his shoulder. "I love you, Pop." He leaned against me and sighed. "I love you too, son." We sat there together, silently, peacefully, my father and me, adjusting to change, once again comfortable in each other's company, and holding on to a shimmer of faith. you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's story, Shimmers of Faith, was written by David Hall and published in St. Anthony's Messenger magazine. For a copy of this or any of my stories, email Sandra at AveMariaRadio.net. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria Radio audio archives. For 2 years, we've recorded nearly every show from